I don't know about that. I know some companies actually have taken this and started drilling over the last 30 years to try to find that promise. But I don't think that's what it is, because in the days of the Old Testament, and certainly even till today, we know that oil is a very precious commodity in Jewish tradition. The olive oil, the perfumes they could make, even the grape vines. Moses is praying that olive groves and grape vineyards would fill the hills of Asher. In fact, and it's still some of the richest agricultural land anywhere. That God had blessed them through this. I want you to notice now after verse 24, verse 25 comes in, and there's another promise in there. It says, your bars shall be iron and bronze. I think this really is that this Asher's people would be fortified and protected. They would be strong. Though they were there for others, God would protect them in a unique way for those times. And finally, and as your days, as long as they live, so shall your strength be. But there's more. Look at the rest of these verses. Verse 26, verse 27. There is none like God, O Jeshurun, who rides through the heavens to your help. Oh, where does your strength come from? Through the skies, in his majesty, the eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And let me tell you, those are some strong arms. Asher's people had that promise. And he, God alone, would thrust out the enemy before you and said, destroy. These are three Old Testament references back to Asher and his descendants that help us understand where happiness can come from, and where strength comes from, and where blessings come from. But there's one other place in the Bible I want to take you that references Asher. I want you to turn to the New Testament and find Luke chapter 2. I find these fascinating as I reading some other authors who helped me to see some of these things. Luke chapter 2, there's a hope given, and I want you to see what God did for the tribe and the descendants and the people of Asher. Nearly 4,000 years after the blessing that Moses gave to the people of Asher, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Luke chapter 2, if you see at the beginning. And afterwards, Mary and Joseph took their newborn to the temple for his dedication. There they met Anna. And I want you to see this. In verse 36, it says, and there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel. And where is she from? The tribe of Asher. Never read fast through the Bible when the details are there for you to pick up on. There was so much happiness in the Old Testament with Asher. There was so much blessing and protection and promises of strength. And then you fast forward to the New Testament, and you see the birth of the Messiah. And certainly there are different persons that are interacting in the story, but when he's brought to dedication, where there is a woman from the tribe of Asher, she gets a front row seat, and you notice that she is advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, when they first got married, 7 years as a married woman, and then as a widow until she was 84. 7 years of protection and security with a husband, but the remainder of her years, until she's 84, she lived as a single woman. And God became her husband, strengthening her, protecting her, providing for her, and she gave her entire life to the Lord. She's found in this temple. She's being blessed here. And it says here in verse 37, and then as a widow until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day, and coming up at that very hour. Anna is from the happy tribe of Asher, committed to God, desiring to see her Messiah. And here this happy woman met Jesus, who had come to bring joy and salvation to the people. God allowed her to continue on in this life under his strength, giving the strength to match her days until she could see the promised Messiah that she always desired. What a blessing. What a hope-filled day for her. And how did she respond? She got to see him. She got to savor him. And then she shared him. You notice what it says. She went, she didn't depart from him. She was worshiping and fasting night and day and coming up to that very hour. Let me flip over to Luke here. I had it in my notes, but I didn't get it all. She did not part from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at the very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Now imagine this. I believe God had provided for her all those years when she didn't have anybody else. I believe God had gave her the strength to overcome day in and day out. But I'm going to just submit to you that her happiest day, her greatest joy, her greatest purpose happened in her senior adult years. When she saw the Messiah, it gave her new life in a way you couldn't imagine. And that she had seen him, savored him, and now she could do nothing but share him. Her ministry expanded 100-fold because he had come for the redemption of Jerusalem, of his people. Asher's descendants got to be first in line to see that in the context of worship. That's pretty amazing to me. So I want you to consider this strength that we look for. I'll just give you a few thoughts as I close out here. This happy woman who saw, this happy woman who savored and loved seeing the Messiah, this happy woman who could do nothing but share what she had seen, this elderly lady finding her greatest joy and best life at 84 years old. It just tells me that God's never through with us providing, blessing, protecting, and showing us hope. For all of these that we've encountered, Jacob, Moses, Anna, Asher, the tribe that bears his name, and I believe along with you and me, we have a wonderful promise in Christ Jesus. And as your days show, so shall your strength be. If the strength of the Lord had been there all the time with Asher and his descendants, and then even into the New Testament with Anna, I believe if we could be in the same vein as the tribe of Asher, we're not from the tribe of Asher, but boy, if I could be adopted under one, I think this one would be a good one. Let's sing that. I want to just throw up a few thoughts to close out. The biblical account of the tribe of Asher, an interesting and encouraging biography, but I want to put up just a few points on the screen. But true happiness, the first one I put up is true happiness is only found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Asher was born happy and he was giving other people happiness. You know, when Christ was born, he was born not just for his own glory, but what? To give us a joy, a happiness, an eternal perspective that you can find in no one else. So many in this life search for happiness. If I can just find happiness in this relationship or in that financial thing or this athletic ability, if I can just be all out into all these things, I'll find happiness. Oh, I think of the woman at the well who had been married 5 times. was shacking up with another guy at the time, and Jesus comes by to her. And can I say shacking up? Is that still understandable? You ever heard shacking up in a sermon? But Jesus' heart was for the woman, but you know what? To deal with people, you got to talk about the facts. If he says to her, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd be asking me for water, and I would give you something that overflows, and you'll never be searching again. This woman came to the well every day to draw from this hot time of the day to draw water. Why? Because she was never satisfied in the relationships. Everybody knew her testimony. Oh, she's that woman who just goes from one relationship to another relationship to another relationship to another relationship to another relationship, and she'll continue on this pattern. She's still looking for happiness but hadn't found it. She had a reputation, and so she doesn't go out when all the other women are collecting water. She goes out by herself, hoping nobody notices so she can get the water that she needs to go back, and Jesus meets her at that very moment and says, listen, you continue to fill up your well in these relationships, and they don't satisfy. You're looking for happiness. Happiness, and it's not cutting it. If you knew who you were talking to, I could fill you with the happiness that you need, and you'd never go searching again. How many of us are still searching for the joy that only comes from Jesus, and we'll continue to be thirsty? True happiness is only found in the relationship with Jesus Christ. And Lord knows I've tried other things, and I've noticed and watched a lot of people who are still trying other things. I saw them this past week on vacation. Woo! They're all happy until they're not. I don't see how you can be on something so fun and get so angry with people. All the stuff that I saw, I'm like, man, boy, I love my wife. I love my life. All right, number two. True blessing. Asher was blessed incredibly. True blessing is only found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. The world will always promise more than it'll ever deliver. Oh, but it'll be different this time. I know everybody else has tried this and it didn't work, but it's going to be so different for me. You know what? That's the greatest lie of the devil, that you're so unique, that nothing will hurt you or hinder you or deter you like it did everybody else, because I'm smarter, I'm wiser, I know more than God ever knows. That's such foolishness. Prideful. And with everything the Bible tells me, pride will lead you to a major fall. But if you'll humble yourself, you'll just seek the Lord. The Lord takes the humble and he lifts them up. And what does he do for Asher's tribe? He blessed them far more than any other. And it continued for generations. The third thing we see in these passages, that true strength is only found in a life fully surrendered to God. I know sometimes we, like in the early spring, you go swimming, what do? If you're going to look at the water, you put your toe in. How cold is that? Ooh, yeah. Sometimes we're like that with God's strength. Okay, I need a little strength today, so I'm just going to tip my toe in the strength of God because I only need it a little bit. It's not a life fully surrendered. Man, you need to go to the deep end of God's strength pool and just dive in. He's got more than enough. He'll cover it all. He'll give you more than you can imagine. We get prideful. We get in ways where we think, well, God's so busy with other things, he doesn't have any time for me. That's a lie of the devil as well. He cares for the shepherds on the hill he called to see the baby that precious Christmas morning. He cares for the kings, he cares for the paupers, he cares for every one of us. And he is telling us that all of us, apart from him, are paralyzed. But with him, we have all the strength we need. True strength is only found in the life fully surrendered to God. Maybe that's what you can consider today. Have you given your entire life to Christ and found his strength to be more than sufficient? You know, there are some things, as Paul prayed, you know, remove this ailment from me, remove this difficulty, and God tells him, no, my grace is sufficient for you. He's saying, I've got enough strength, I'll carry you. I don't need to remove it. I'm just going to show you how strong I am in your life as I carry you through. Sometimes God allows things to happen in our life and remain in our life so that it will not come praise to you because you can't do it. but God can, and you give him all the strength. We have people in our congregation even now that only live by the strength of God. And they've had incredible medical issues. They've had incredible financial issues, job-related issues, relational issues, where there's no control, there's nothing they can do, but just trust in the strength of God who even gives them the breath to speak, to pray, to live. I so appreciate some of the congregants that we have today that have struggled so, but in their presence, they're more about giving you joy than them trying to receive something from you. It's like, I'm full. I've got what I need from God. As you've come to visit me, I know you want to encourage me, but let me just tell you how great God is. Let me just, how's your life? And they are always outward focused, because when the God is working in your life and he's strengthening you, it's not about you anymore. It's all about him and how he can overflow into the lives of others. Until we take our last breath, may God be the strength of your life. Here's the fourth thing we see as we walk through this, and the hope. True hope is only found in the seeing, the savoring, and the sharing of Jesus Christ. We don't know when our last day is. Could be today, could be tomorrow. We don't know how long we're going to still battle some of the issues we've got in our lives right now. It may go on for years. But do you see Jesus in your life? Do you savor him? Do you share him even in the midst of your difficulties? You can do that. True hope is found in the strength of God. Every morning, his mercies are new. Anybody dependent upon that? Thank you for forgiving me for yesterday's stupidity. Even when I know what to do, I still do the wrong thing. Even when I know what I should be doing, I don't do it. Paul expresses that in Romans chapter 7. It's the battle of the two natures in us, and we don't always do the right thing, and God's mercies are new every morning, but my goodness, we ought to be praying, God, thank you for your mercy, but I need your strength today. I need your strength to overcome temptation. I need your strength to have the right words and to have the courage when I want to just stay under the pillow and the covers and say, just world, go away. I need to get out there and do what you've called me to do, and I can only do it in your strength. You go into the next doctor's appointment, do it in his strength. You go on Monday morning, you have to be on 285, you go in his strength. When you have that difficult conversation and you're seriously uncertain what to say and you certainly don't want to say the wrong thing, you just pray, Lord, I need your strength. May I see things from your perspective. May I be like you have called me to be. May I just, you're a loving father. You're a caring husband. You're a provider. You're the discipliner. I need all of this from you. I need your strength. I'm praying that even right now in my own life. I need his strength. I can't do it on my own. And I'd be stupid to try. No, let's change that word. I'd be sinful to try. When God says, here's the gift, and we go, I'll just try it on my own. How arrogant is that? We walk in the strength of the Lord, yes? I want us to pray together, and we're going to sing the last song. But actually, I forgot. I'm going to put up the last two verses here on the screen. We looked at verse 25, but I want to remind you of 26. I think this is the God we need to remember who gives us strength. There is none like God. Is that true? Why would we search for strength anywhere else? There is none like God. There's nothing that could give us joy. There's nothing that can provide blessings. There is nothing or no one in this world that is like God. This God rides through the heavens to your help. Sometimes you find out who your true friends are when troubles come and they're flying every different direction, but it's not in your direction. But God always flies in your direction for your help. The eternal God is your dwelling place. Oh, that's a safety zone. The protecting all around you. He's your dwelling place. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Arms that cannot be moved. Arms that can't be pried open. Arms that surround you. Oh, I always love the picture in the Old Testament. Psalm 90 or 91 kind of talks about it. But, you know, in a Jewish culture, I think I've shared this before, but in a Jewish culture, they, you know, the priest would have his prayer shawl. And then they have these little dangly things at the bottom, tallits. And anyway, you get the picture. You know, when we say we're wrapped in his covering, the wings, I think it talks about the wings. Well, those are the wings. And the wings of God, who has this prayer shawl, if you have this picture, comes around you. And they're everlasting arms. And where are you? You're in his protection. No matter what comes against you, his wings are around you and protects you. You're in a safe, strong place. That's where we need to find ourselves. Let's pray together and prepare for this last song. Father, thank you for the grace that you give us. I'm thankful for the wisdom. I'm thankful for the mercy. But God, today as we focused on Asher's life and his descendants, I'm thankful for the strength you give us. And strength that gives us joy and happiness. Strength that gives us the blessings that we need that only come from you. Strength that gives us the hope to see Jesus for who he is. To savor how wonderful, magnificent, and unlike anyone or anything else in the world. And that when we have him, we live in his strength and we are eager to share with others where our strength comes from. You are a firm foundation. Father, I'm thankful for your love. I'm thankful for your strength. And I pray today, if there's anybody among us who has never found their hope and life in you, that they may do so today. They can speak to me at the back or speak to somebody else in this room that knows Jesus. I pray that they would truly surrender and find who you are, because there is none like you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If we would stand together for our last song, we're going to sing God, I Look to You.